Well, there's one thing that brings all humanity together in unity, and that is their desire to be happy. All humanity have that common longing and that common desire. The Bible, however, claims universal worldwide authority for that reason. The Word of God is a textbook, a life or a manual, we could say, of the soul. It's the only book that deals with men, women, young people and boys and girls with regard to their whole state and condition as they journey throughout life. People all across the globe are on pursuit for happiness, humanly speaking, which they will never find in this world. It's not until they discover what true happiness is according to the revealed truth of God that only then they will be truly happy. It is a recurrent theme throughout Scripture, and as the Bible is real, relevant and up to date even to this current day, all other teachings on the subject of happiness should be totally disregarded. Philosophies change. Scientists, yes, they disagree, but in the midst of all the continual change around us, in the world in which we live, the Word of God, it stands sure. In this psalm before us, which we have just read together, we see two groups of people. We see the godly and the ungodly. We see the happy and the unhappy. And the psalmist clearly shows that people are not happy, or they cannot find happiness in their life because they search for it in the wrong way. As we look closer at this psalm, we see how many people mistakenly approach the subject of happiness directly. They have yet to learn or realize that in the spiritual realm, as in the military realm, the best strategy is the indirect approach. And this is also true of the Bible, the Word of God. If you seek after righteousness, you will receive happiness. But if you seek only for happiness, you will not find it. You know, the Word of God presents to us a happiness that is true, a happiness that lasts, that continues regardless whatever may come against us as we journey through this life. This morning, as we meditate upon Psalm 1 together, I would like us to consider very simply the subject of true happiness. True happiness. In pondering this subject, I would like to first of all draw your attention to the path of true happiness. The path of true happiness. In verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The word blessed here used can also be translated happy, meaning bringing with it the sense of being found in a desirable condition, contented, contentment. And when given consideration to the path of true happiness, it is important for each one of us to note one important fact this morning, and that is this, that our true happiness is not dependent upon our circumstances. Do we really believe this is the case today? Maybe people, or rather many people, think that when the pockets are full of money and the sun is shining upon us, the exam results is good and that which we have desired, well then all is well, we're happy, we're contented, all is going as we please. However, when the opposite be so, when the bank balance is in the red and, well, the weather is poor and the exam results perhaps have left something what to be desired, how then can we be truly happy? We believe human happiness is to depend upon circumstances, the events and the happenings within our daily lives. If things work out as we plan, well then, oh, how happy we will be. But if not, then that utter disarray creeps in. We could never find such happiness, we think, in such a situation. A very important biblical principle which we should never always rather keep before us and never forget is this. Happiness does not depend upon our circumstances. As we examine closely verse 1 this morning of our text, we note that it does not say, blessed is the man who walks with godly men. Or it doesn't say, blessed is the man who seeks to be blessed. Or blessed is the man who craves after happiness. No, men and women, it says this, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The godly man or woman or young person's happiness comes as a direct result of not partaking in these things. It's a side effect, it's a result of true faithfulness, true holiness of life, a true desire to live a life which is pleasing to God. And if the path of true happiness is not dependent upon one's circumstances, then how then can we acquire it? If you want to be happy, give no heed to the counsel of ungodly men. The world, which is so evident around us, has no time for God nor the things of God. A world that is in opposition to God and to the people of God. A world that does not even recognize God for who he is, for what he has done, for what he has accomplished, even in the great plan of salvation, redemption. The world desires not the things of God. Psalm 10 and 4, we read over there, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, Christian, this morning we ought to run from these things. Ought to run from the things of this old world. And run to Christ. And run after him and his ways. And his word. You see, if you look closely at this verse with me this morning, you see there appears to be a progression here. There appears to be a walking, then a standing, and then progressing into a sitting. A picture of the increasing grip that sin can have upon us all. When one crosses that line, the decline takes place. That slippery slope down into that sinful ways, that sinful life, that quagmire of sin, we could say. At first, we're found walking with it, thinking perhaps you're in control. Oh, I'll not allow this to take a grip of me or take grip in my life. I'm in charge. I'm in control. All of a sudden, you're found standing in the midst of it, no longer walking. And however, it's not long before you've advanced to the stage and you're found sitting in sin. Seated there, found firmly in sin's grasp. Is this you this morning, dear friend? What a sad picture is found even in this verse 1 of the progression into sin that leads ultimately to paralysis. Do many today not possess true happiness? Because they are found paralyzed by sin. The path of true happiness is found only in the avoidance and the evasion of involvement with all such sinful men and sinful practices. And it's only found in the life of one who is separated from sin unto Christ. Found living a life of faithfulness unto him. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But also this morning, as we contemplate the subject of true happiness, and having considered the path of true happiness, where happiness is to be found and where it is not, I want us to consider together for a time the persisting in true happiness. The persisting in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we are those who are to be truly blessed, to be truly happy, to be those that are spoken of in verse 1, how then will we persist in this true happiness? Verse 2 provides us the answer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It is one who delights in the law of the Lord who will persist and be found in that continued state of happiness. It is that one that is saturated in the word of God What about you, dear friend, this morning? Did you even lift the Word of God down today to read it before coming to this house? You know, here in Protestant Ulster, how lackadaisical we can become. You know, there's people across the world today, persecuted Christians, and they're not privileged such as you and me. They don't have this. Perhaps they have a leaf and they share it around. They have to meet in secret for fear of their life. They don't even own a copy of God's Word. Have we read it today? Meditated upon it? The true child of God will have no desire for the ungodly and their ways. Rather, his delight will be found in the ways of the Lord. And I don't mean by this no desire for the salvation of sinful men, but rather no desire for that sin in which they partake in. The Bible, as the Catechism so aptly summarizes for us, is the Word of God, which is contained in the Old and New Testaments. It's the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. You know, a young man once testified of having been brought up through dispensational circles. And after studying the Word of God in later life, how he felt spiritually bereft with regard to the teaching which he had received and the lack of significance of the Old Testament scriptures. How the church had just commenced in the New Testament and people were saved in many different ways at many different periods of time. What comfort we have today as the true church of God, as believers, as we consider the Word of God. A complete volume, all 66 books, the Old Testament, the New, the Law and the Gospel, all there contained within what we need. The Old Testament saints saved, looking forward to what Christ would achieve, and those in the New Testament looking back to Christ, the work of salvation, the work of redemption. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. You see, friends, this morning the Word of God is God's path to true happiness, to true blessedness, to true contentment. Everything else will fail. Is there not many in this seasons of the year and the celebrating, out seeking after joyful life, immersed in secularism? And really their heart's desire is just that peace, that joy, that happiness. And they're looking everywhere except looking to Christ, where that true happiness is found. You know, the ways of the world are null and void. Any man that desires, or woman, or young person, or boy and girl that desires to persist in this true state of happiness, that continued blessedness, experience true growth and in their life, is in the knowledge of him, a greater knowledge of him and his word. They have that desire to read his word, to know him, to know the God of the word. It is the blessedness of the knowledge of sins forgiven that gives the happiness of the soul. That peace within, oh what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. Is that not what the hymn writer says? What a joy it is for those that are truly saved. Look unto Christ. It matters not what comes tomorrow. You see, the story is told of the young pastor who went to visit a dear saint of God as she lay terminally ill in hospital. Before praying with her, he said to her, "Is there anything in particular, dear, you'd like me to pray for? Anything that's troubling you? Any difficulty?" "Well," she says, "of course, I'd like to stay here as long as possible with my loved ones. And if the Lord chooses to give me that answer to my prayer and grant me that answer, yes, I'll be happy. But you know, if he chooses to call me home, I'll be happy too." And you know, as children of the Lord this morning, it should thrill our hearts that we're on the winning side. When we belong to Christ, it matters not what comes our way. It matters not the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. We keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. Grow in our knowledge of Him. Our true happiness persists in that knowledge of being born again by that precious blood of our Saviour. Having our names written upon the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you have this happiness this morning? Can I ask you, dear friend, today? That which the psalmist refers to. Do you delight in God? Do you delight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you delight in meditating on the joys and glories of eternity? If this is so, you will continue to persist in true happiness and blessing. Because it will not matter what comes your way. You'll remain unshaken. You'll go forward. Nothing and no one can ever remove such peace from you. As this true happiness is independent of circumstances. Perhaps today you're here and you cannot say that you possess such a happiness. You cannot delight yourself in the law of the Lord. You cannot make yourself righteous in the law of the Lord. You cannot make yourself righteous in the sight of a holy God. Isaiah tells us in his prophecy that we are all as an unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You know, did you ever grasp that this morning? It doesn't matter how good it is, how good you think that your works are, how good a person you think that you are. Perhaps you've been in the mechanic's yard of lately, haven't got your car fixed. You saw those old dirty rags sitting in the corner, fit for nothing, only the fire. I even think back to my days on the farm and old rags that was used in the parlour, good for nothing else when you are finished with them. Friends, this morning, that's what the Lord says of our very best. It's just as filthy rags. There's nothing in or of ourselves that could ever have merited salvation. Perhaps today you're in that state of unhappiness and misery because of your sin. You see, with ungodliness, there comes unhappiness. And ultimately, eternal death and hell for all God's eternity. We have dwelt much on the happiness there is for the believer and the child of God, the godly. But what is said of the ungodly there in the remaining verses of the psalm? The ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're not happy. They're not blessed. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, watch it, it shall perish. Tell me, are you living today for the world, the flesh, and the devil? You're like someone I know, I've witnessed to many times, and says, "Oh, Simon, I'm not here for a long time. We're here for a good time." Is that your theory today? Just enjoy life. You're seeking after happiness. You have no time for God nor the things of this precious book, the truths that are contained therein. You know, you cannot free yourself from sin. But you can rejoice in the work of the atonement today, the work of salvation, the love that God has for sinners such as you. Give heed to the law today. Come now, he says. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Will you repent of your sin today? Believe the gospel. Acknowledge him for who he is and for what he has done. Because then and only then will you be a blessed and a happy man or young person. Even today we've considered the path of true happiness, the persisting in true happiness, but I would also like to draw your attention to this morning the proof of true happiness. In the verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, friends, this morning the proof of true happiness is found in one that is in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One who is situated by the waters. What does that really mean? Planted by the rivers of the water, as the psalmist so aptly puts it. You see, friends, this is the evidence. This is the confirmation. This is the proof of true happiness in the life of a believer. You see, a tree cannot plant itself in an optimum place, but must be planted. Yes, perhaps over even this autumnal period into the winter. You've been walking out perhaps in a forest park, and you've saw wee seeds that have fell off the trees, and they have sprung up into little saplings, and they've just planted themselves all over the place. They've germinated and started to grow. Well, this isn't what the psalmist is speaking of here. He's speaking of that tree that is planted by someone in a particular place, at a particular time, for a particular purpose. And the true Christian is planted by Christ upon his or her conversion. They put down roots, and I expect most of you here this morning are well aware that most trees, there's more below the ground than there is above. You see, they're well rooted. And this world is a desert that can never satisfy or give happiness to the life of any true believer. And we must be spiritually rooted firmly in the things of Christ and draw upon the waters of life, as there can be no fruit without roots. Too many Christians are more concerned about the leaves and the fruit than they are about the roots. Have you ever thought about it, friend, this morning? Yet the roots are the most important part. The one who professes Christ and doesn't spend time daily in word and prayer, allowing the Spirit to feed them, will be as that seed that sprung up, as we read of in the parable of the sower, just withered up and died. You see, it's a problem with the roots, and there's no fruit. The roots is the problem. The storm comes, the wind blows, and the tree's shaken. And perhaps this morning you're here and your tree's shaken, tossed and turned every direction. And you sit there and you're dealing with it yourself on your own. No one even here around you knows. You're afraid even perhaps you're going to be uprooted. Friend, I exhort you to look to Christ afresh, even Christian today. Get into his word. He has planted you in a particular place for a particular purpose, and there's nothing can happen to you that he will not allow. Think of Job this morning. The death, the destruction, the damnation, the disappointment, the discouragement. What did he say? After it all, who of us has been through what Job went through? He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The proof of true happiness is found in a Christian well rooted in Christ, who is fresh and who is fruitful. Fruit in the Bible speaks of many things. Someone fruitful will be a soul winner, Romans 1:13. Will be of good character, Romans 6:22. Be a good giver to the Lord's work. And that's more than money, friends. That's giving of yourself. Part of the work. Is there fruit in your life as the proof of true happiness? Of the joy that's in your heart because you're saved? Because you're going on with the Lord? You have a desire to reach out to those around you. You have a desire to be found in the Lord's house. You have a desire to be at the prayer meeting. You have a desire to be at the children's meeting. You have a desire to drive a bus. You have a desire to do whatever there is that needs to be done, because you know what the Lord has done for you. Is that desire there? Because that's the proof of true happiness in the life of the believer. The way to true happiness is found only in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the typical blessed and happy man who delighted to do his Father's will for filthy, wretched sinners such as you and me. And Christ the God-man, he's the only perfect example of this godly man which we read here of in Psalm 1. I want to draw your attention in connection to the Saviour's spoken words in John 14 and 6 as we come to a close this morning. John 14 and 6, perhaps you want to turn across or perhaps you know it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, in Psalm 1 here we see in the verse 1 the path of true happiness is found only in him as the way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's only found in Christ. He is the only way to this true happiness, this true peace of mind. Into verse 2, the persisting in true happiness is only found in him, in the truth of his word, the God-man, the incarnate word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In verse 3, the proof of true happiness is only found in him as the life. The life. The life of Christ in the child of God should be evident to all of those around us. It should be evident that we're well rooted. We're like that tree that's planted by the rivers of the water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord's hand of blessing is ever upon the faithful. If you want to be truly happy this morning, it's all of him. It's all of Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, search wherever you want and speak to whoever you desire to speak to. But if you want that true happiness, that true peace within your heart, that blessing, to know blessing in your life upon your family, it's only found in Christ. I trust today each one of us knows what it is to possess that true happiness of heart, soul, and mind that can only be found, fed, and fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.